You know, it's come into the fourth quarter a couple times. You know, some of these young guys learning how to understand the difference between, you know, playing cautiously and playing aggressively, and where you have to be on that.
I love Zimmer just throwing the young guys under the bus there. Wow, Dantzler's an idiot. Guy's like 20 years old. I don't even know what he was doing out there. And how about Gladney just getting torched? Did you guys see that? If I'm Zimmer, that's what I'm doing. Did you see Gladney get torched on that fourth down? What a terrible pick. Oh, where's Rick?
Mike's great, though, because then he's like, but I didn't coach him to screw up. They screwed up on their own. Yeah,
it's not my fault. I don't know what those guys are doing.
Not my fault.
So, all right, we're going to actually start the show today. We have received a lot of feedback. I would say most of the people that we talk to, Vikings fans, are kind of sick of Kirk Cousins, but there is a segment of fans that are sick of us being sick of Kirk Cousins. And so we're going to respond to those people and we're going to pull some comments from our YouTube page, and we're going to have a Kirk Cousins session to start the show today. But a quick shout out to Federated Mutual Insurance Company. Federated is pumping out relevant content on their Twitter account at Federated INS. If you want to give it a follow, fresh, relevant risk management content for business owners on a variety of topics. Federated's been helping business owners since 1904 in Owatonna, Minnesota. So not only are they one of us, but they just have over a century of experience in giving business owners peace of mind. Whether it's a pandemic year or an up year, they measure their success by the success of their clients, and they stand by their clients. Find out more information at federatedinsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
We kind of ingrained in these guys, go get the first down. And what happened was they kind of covered up the guards and tackles. And I think the linebacker came and CJ met him in a hole. The defensive end kind of backed into him. You know, and obviously if he had bounced outside, I'm sure he would have got it. You know, there was a lot of space out there. Kyle did a nice job blocking his guy. That's kind of the way it goes.
Done, Kyle.
So Mike Zimmer doing the autopsy, dissecting a close shave loss at Seattle. Vikings have not beat Seattle in Mike Zimmer's career here. 2009 was the last time they beat Seattle.
They're the only team he hasn't beaten since arriving.
Really?
The only NFC team, excuse me, that he has not beaten since arriving.
Yeah, Blair Walsh, thank you very much.
Thanks, Blair.
Real quick, total derailment. Do you guys ever get these, like, when you guys get calls, do you ever get the caller ID pop up as telemarketer or spam risk?
No, I don't get that.
That's one of the greatest inventions of phone.
I didn't know that
happened. Gets those. I don't get those.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it just tells you flat out, telemarketer or spam risk.
I've been very fortunate.
I don't get that.
A lot of people don't try and contact me. Like, I don't know if my cell phone's not floating around, if people just don't like me, which is awesome if they don't, but I don't get a lot of spam risk. I don't get a lot of, you know, calls that scream friendship, future friendship.
We don't have to get into it right now, but I had a pretty bad cell phone experience a couple weekends ago. You can save it for another talker of the day, but it was a very embarrassing moment for Declan.
Well, let's definitely do that later in the show.
Yes, it has to happen.
Let me just mark it down.
I was going to say, I hope it's not a provider. Oh, okay, good. I hope it's not a provider that could be spot. Every once in a while,
dumbest things ever done.
Dex gets some drinks on a Saturday or Sunday.
And rips potential sponsors.
And I always want to be like, Dex, I know you hate the pizza there, and that's fine. And they probably won't sponsor us, but
beggars can't be choosers.
Just in case, if they come around.
We all know who out pizzas who. We all know it.
I mean, but it was just on Sunday, I think it was this, or Saturday, was this arbitrary rip of a major pizza joint.
And I will have you know that whether the actual pizza is good or not, or you fold it in half or not, if you dip it in that garlic sauce, it's all good.
Okay.
It's all good. All right?
You can't go wrong with garlic sauce.
So
you're so right about that.
Anyhow, the conversation we want to jump into here is a Kirk Cousins conversation, because I think there's a little bit of, I don't know, I'll call it dissonance, it feels like, with some of the Vikings fans. And some of the listeners of this show, Mackie and Judd, and particularly Purple Daily as well, youtube.com/Purple Daily Podcast and Apple, Spotify, ScoreNorth.com. A certain segment of the fan base, and I think it's probably like 20 to 25% just based on some of the feedback that I'm seeing on social and the YouTube comment sections, thinks that we are too hard as a show on Kirk Cousins. That we will blame Kirk for anything and everything. If Kirk Cousins doesn't throw for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns, that, like, if he did one thing wrong in a game, that we will find it, and we will hunt
him down. I'm so excited about Taken.
We will hunt him down, and we will criticize him.
I have a special set of quarterback skills.
I will find you, and I will criticize you.
So I thought it would be a fun exercise here to legitimately pull some of the critiques of our critiques from the YouTube comment section and from Twitter, and then we just let's throw them out there, and then let's respond to these. All right, let's have a Kirk Cousins session here to start the Mackey and Judd show.
Okay,
you guys ready?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Kirk, are you ready?
Hey, you held him to 20 points, man.
Yes, sir.
You gave us a chance at the end, but I got three words for you. You like that?
Yeah!
All right. Let's start with this one, okay? This is from Twitter. This is Ian. And again, I'm not doing this to be like condescending. I mean, these are legitimately these are comments that I think represent opinions in the fan base. And when we mostly agree on the Kirk Cousins thing that he's just not good enough and he just like frustrates you and he gets paid too much. So let's make room for some dissenting opinions here. This is from Ian on Twitter. Yeah, let's just forget that our defense couldn't stop Russ on a 4th and 10, or the fact that one offensive lineman had 3 holds and 4 penalties, and we still choose to run behind him. But you're right, Kirk Cousins isn't good enough. Judd.
All right, this entire conversation starts for one reason. When you sign the contract that Kirk did, you take the heat. His cap number for 2020 is $21 million, okay?
It's actually a lot lower than it would have been.
The expectation when you sign that contract and in a cap league eat up that much of the salary on your team is that you're going to be damn good all the time. And the problem is with Kirk, you can always find, ordinarily I should say, always is probably a little too strong. But in most Vikings losses, you can find that span, that glorious little span, and it occurred early in quarter 3 on Sunday, where Kirk does just enough that it cost your team. Drew Samia? Yeah, he was terrible, but guess what? He's not paid. $21 million against your cap. So that's the problem here. Look, flat out, if Kirk Cousins was on a rookie contract, I think our critique of Kirk Cousins would be far different. But the expectations are very fair. And in fact, Kirk himself, if fans went to Kirk and said, Kirk, what do you think? Kirk should be the first one to say, it's incredibly fair. I'm making that much. So yeah. I can't, the context of the conversation and the issue about his contract is the key thing here. If he is in year 3 of a 5-year draft pick rookie contract, the conversation might be harsh, but it's very different.
There's two elements in this criticism from Ian here. One is that the Vikings couldn't stop Russ on a 4th and 10. The Vikings defense is terrible. They couldn't stop Russell Wilson on 4th and 10. Have you watched Russell Wilson play for 8 years? This is what he does. I think it's actually unrealistic to look at the Vikings defense up against one of the great clutch time quarterbacks in the history of the NFL and demand a stop. Like, you are playing with fire. When you take a 2-touchdown lead early in that game, and this is where I'm frustrated with Kirk. We always boil it down to like, well, what's he supposed to do? He got the ball back with 15 seconds left. Like, it's not enough time. Well, what about the 3rd quarter when he threw an idiot interception and like can't sense pressure from behind and gets the ball knocked out? Like, that happens to him more than any other quarterback in the NFL statistically, basically since he came in as a starter 6 years ago, right? So my criticism is, like, I get it. The defense should probably stop a 4th and 10. It's also, if you took every quarterback in the history of the NFL and said, it's 4th and 10, which quarterback in history, in his prime, do you want?
Oh.
This might be the guy. Russell Wilson, he can get the 4th and 10 with his legs. He can run outside the pocket. Like, it's a criticism that they didn't stop him, but it's not like an, oh my God. I mean, if it was, you know, Sam Darnold or something, all right, I'm going to criticize. On the offensive lineman front, yeah, okay, maybe call a run to the left side or something. But like, I would actually criticize Alex Mattison for not finding the hole more than I would criticize the line on that.
But
point.
Why wouldn't you, as a fan, why wouldn't you criticize the guy who is paid as much as Kirk is? Like, I don't understand why you would defend him.
Because our expectations are too low for quarterbacks right now. We have been beaten down for so long with a revolving door of quarterbacks that our bar for what we set as good, acceptable quarterback play does not match the bar of winning a Super Bowl.
Do we not?
It just doesn't.
Do
it's
we
desperation.
Not watch games from around the league? Do we not see that there are towns in which QB play is elite and high and really good. Like, don't the price of poker in this league is to start at the quarterback position with the guy who is great. And if you can't have a guy who's great, then you either try and cultivate one, but you certainly find a favorable contract. And the issue with the defense, too, is really simple. I can guarantee you that 4th and 10 is broken up. The DK Metcalf catch. I can end the game right now, okay? I can end the game. I've just signed a high-priced cornerback who goes up, high points the ball himself, and picks it off. How did I do it, Judd? How did you do that? It's incredible. What did you do?
Where'd you find the money?
Where did you? Oh, I didn't pay my quarterback as much.
Oh.
So tough. I don't even think that this is that difficult. I don't know if you have a, and I don't have kids, okay? But if you have a kid who you deem to be, well, but I'm going to go to a place that's going to exclude you, Declan. I'm sorry.
Okay.
If you have a kid who you deem to be like incredibly intelligent, right? Like really smart. Like you've got a kid and you are like, this child is special. This child is going to Harvard, Yale, something like that. And the kid's like, I got into it, JC. Are you like, well, it's really not your fault. Your buddy Drew, he dragged you into drugs. And then your cornerback friend, I mean, he didn't really support you. You know what, Teddy? It's okay. Or Larry or Danny. It's okay that you've become a complete bleep up because it's your friend's fault. Do we blame the friends? I mean, that's what we're doing here. Kirk, it's not your fault. It's your friend Drew's fault.
Here's the next one. This is from Purple Daily. And you can find us on YouTube. We have two YouTube channels, youtube.com/Purple Daily Podcast and youtube.com/ScoreNorthMN. From G. Gurness, if we know that Kirk is bad under pressure and we've accepted that, then why not establish at least a rock-solid offensive line? Guess what? There are teams that have won Super Bowls with an at-most average quarterback, looking at you, Eagles and Nick Foles, and they were able to do this by having great support up front in the offensive line. I agree with everything in this statement. So just for one, bravo, like G. Gurness, you have hit the nail on the head, especially if you have a non-mobile quarterback that absolutely needs that protection to do his job, right? Now, you could keep going down this path and saying, well, if you don't have a mobile quarterback in today's NFL, then why are you paying him among the elite quarterbacks? If I think there should be a prerequisite. If you aren't like the best dart-throwing Joe Montana pocket passer in NFL history, then you shouldn't be making the same amount of money as mobile quarterbacks who can escape pressure, right? But here we are. So my retort to this would be, yes, it's hard to find a mobile franchise quarterback. I think the Vikings should start to try. I think they should start to try in 2021. It might be even harder to find 5 top-notch, amazing offensive linemen. How many teams in the NFL at any given time just have a no-weak link brick wall up front, and they're protecting a pocket passer, and that pocket passer is having the season of his life, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Drew Samia thing, he's definitely the worst offensive lineman in the NFL. That's a huge, huge weak link. Mm-hmm. But almost every offensive line in the NFL has a weak link of some kind. And because the NFL is moving toward mobile quarterbacks, those quarterbacks can just eject from the pocket. Josh Allen ejects from the pocket. Russell Wilson ejects from the pocket, keeps a play alive, and throws the ball downfield. And so I agree, if Kirk Cousins is your quarterback, you need 5 rock-solid offensive linemen, and you should be doing everything in your power to make that happen through the draft and free agency. It's also really, really hard to do that and to do it without spending free agency money on all 5 guys.
The second one that you read there is not questioning us. It's the spot-on point. I will go back to kids again, okay? In fact, let's just say my kid's name is Kirk. And Kirk is...
You would.
Mild intelligence. So he's an okay kid. He's a good kid. He's not real smart. He's not going Ivy League, but he's also going to go to college. And he's going to high school. It's the day before high school starts, okay? And he's like, Dad, what do you think about friends? I mean, what should I do here? Am I going to say, you know, Kirk, you're a pretty smart kid. Here's the deal. Find the biggest losers and dirtbags that you can and hang with them. Because that's the offensive line. Like, the Vikings have this kid who is, I don't think he's terrible. I think he's okay. He's okay. He's not bad. And instead of being like, but your support system, Kirk, has to be really good, which it does. They said, Yeah, we're paying you so much that we're going to treat you like you are an elite level, really good QB, even though we know that it's going to expose your deficiencies. So that point is a great point about what the Vikings have done. And you know what? A lot of this, if we just, let's just dig down here, okay? Because a lot of what we're talking about here, I think, is a justified frustration with Cousins. But I think what it really is, I think what we're all, and, you know, this is Phil, Declan, Judd, the fan base. I think where we're all going right now is a therapy couch that gets at our deepest, darkest fears and frustrations with the Vikings. The Vikings do a lot of things right. They do enough things wrong that if you really dig, you find them. And years later, you're on a couch. Years later, talking about the day when you were 6 years old, and now you're 50, you're my age, and you realize this screwed you up.
Somebody on Twitter tweeted us yesterday and blames their parents for giving them a Vikings jersey for their sixth birthday
He said Vikings pajamas, which I had as well. I had my Vikings pajamas as well.
I had an Anthony Carter Hutch mock uniform and helmet when I was a kid.
Nice.
Hutch, the brand Hutch.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yep.
AC, man, he was good. But anyway, that point's a great point, and I do agree. When the obituary on Cousins' career in Minnesota is written, I do agree that it's going to include a few paragraphs, which we probably don't acknowledge enough now, about a man who in some ways was set up to fail by the expectations put on him by the team itself.
Yeah, I think, well, and I think you have to sort of know going in, you know, to this comment, this is who he is. What's the best way that we can maximize his strengths? And getting him skill position players like Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, that's part of it. But the other part of it is they decided, I think mistakenly, okay, we've got the skill position players. So we've got limited resources in free agency money and in draft capital to now spend on the rest of the roster. What will help Kirk Cousins the most? Spending those top dollars and first, second round picks, you know, for 3 years on offensive line or on defensive players.
Yes.
Anthony Barr, Everson Griffin a couple of years ago when yes. they didn't bring him back. And they decided defensive players. And that's where they are philosophically. All right, here's another one, okay? From Purple Daily YouTube. This is Jason. I'm going to have to censor this. I'll tell you what I'm sick and tired of hearing. D-heads like you who say Cousins isn't good enough. He's accurate as bleep. He throws a nice deep ball, and he's a top-caliber quarterback. He could only get some dadgum pass protection. He could have the highest quarterback rating in the league or close to it. So what if he's not mobile? Neither is Brady. Neither are a lot of others. Actually, you're making our point for us by saying Brady.
This is hilarious.
He's easily in the top five, so don't blame Cousins. Blame the offensive line, which is terrible. You bald-headed numbskull MF-er. I think he's talking about me there.
Yeah, I have great hair, and Judd still has hair, and
So I guess
I'm a mountain man these days.
Yeah.
My retort to this is it's actually very easy because if you're putting Kirk Cousins in the same sentence as Tom Brady, like you aren't watching football every week. Your argument is automatically negated because you're either saying, so if you're saying Kirk Cousins equals Tom Brady, what you're then saying is if Kirk Cousins just had the offensive line and Bill Belichick that Tom Brady has, that he would have six Super Bowl championships right now in his, well, or would be on the way to, because he hasn't played as long.
Yes, sir.
To six Super Bowl championships. There have been years where Tom Brady went to the Super Bowl with a tight end playing right tackle for like a month.
Yeah.
Like he has had broken offensive line.
And Peyton had the same thing.
Watch Tom Brady at age 43 in some of these games with subtle movements in the pocket, avoiding pressure better than Kirk Cousins does.
Mm-hmm.
It's really frustrating when people just think, boy, if Kirk Cousins had these perfect circumstances around him, guess what? In the NFL, when you make that much money to the cap, you don't get the luxury of having perfect circumstances around you. And that's part of this discussion.
But the line should be, but the Vikings' assumption about their line and Kirk Cousins was terrible. Like, it didn't need to be perfect, but they needed to say the second he signed, look.
But you can't say that if, here's the thing. If they had nailed their offensive line,
mm-hmm.
Kirk Cousins still has flaws. He still melts down in big situations. He's still not mobile.
Yeah.
You're never going to have a brick wall for 3 hours in front of you. That's not how the NFL works.
You know what we need to do? There are some stupid words in football that are thrown around now as catch-alls for everything, and it drives me crazy. Immobile quarterback is the stupidest term of all time.
Immobile or mobile?
Mobile and immobile, and here's why it's stupid. To describe Manning and Brady, they don't run fast, okay? But to put them in the same place in the pocket as we do Kirk, as far as contextualizing the conversation, is beyond stupid. Because what do? They feel pressure. So, like, we think, well, if you can run, you're fine. And if you can't, you're not fine. I saw it again. He's 43, and he did not have a great game.
Yeah.
But on Thursday night, there was a play early in the Bucks-Bears game where Brady, and Chicago's defense is really good, Brady is under pressure, and it was so subtle that you actually have to appreciate how bad Cousins is at this to see it. Brady shifted. He literally shuffled and shifted and threw.
No.
Kirk Cousins gets sacked there. So I think we get so set with, well, if he's young and he can use his feet and run, he's going to be fine. That's not the conversation here. The conversation is, how does the quarterback move around literally in the pocket?
Also, We aren't denying the fact that the Vikings offensive line has a lot of room to grow, to say it mildly. Okay. The Vikings do not have a great offensive line. But if Jason's point here is, because he's flat out saying Kirk Cousins is easily a top five quarterback.
Yeah, I don't.
And I think he's on the extreme end of the Kirk defense here.
Agreed.
Let's say that your argument is that he's top 10. Okay. Because I think like most Kirk defenders wouldn't even say that he's top five. They would say he's top 10. He just needs an offensive line. All right. So your argument is that if he has this and that and this thing over here, then he's a top five quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to present to you a golf argument here, a parallel, okay? If I give you two golfers, all right, let's say I give you who's the best golfer in the world? I think Bryson DeChambeau is probably the best golfer in the world right now. But let me take you back 10 years ago, 15 years ago, Judd, to a language you can speak here from a golf standpoint. I'm going to give you Tiger Woods,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to give you Retief Goosen, who had a couple nice
years, yeah, I love
okay?
it, yeah.
All right, the Goose.
I love the Goose,
Goose,
yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
Well, Retief Goosen's one. He's just as good as Tiger. If it's not windy, if it's not raining,
yeah.
And if he's playing a course that he likes, where he doesn't have to worry about blocking a shot to the right in the woods because he doesn't like trees on the right. If it's a course without trees on the right and without wind and without rain, and if he's playing with the right playing partner to keep him calm, right, then he's as good as Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Well, who's the better golfer? The guy that doesn't need the perfect conditions and can still win a tournament.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins needs more perfect conditions to play at his peak than Russell Wilson, than I would say Josh Allen, than Aaron Rodgers, than Tom Brady, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so all of that stuff factors in. Correct. If he had a better offensive line, he would be a better quarterback.
But once you
That's
say top,
not how it works.
But once you say top five, we're done.
Right.
Like he's just, it's that, that is grasping at straws to a point where I can't have that conversation with you.
All right, here's one more. This is from Twitter. This is Corey from Twitter. You guys are clearly the more sports-centric of the two stations in the Twin Cities, and to roll the old...
I think CCL is great. That's not fair.
Yeah, they do a lot of sports on
that's
CCL.
Not fair.
It's crazy.
Not fair. Real radio. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So we're the more sports-centric of the two stations, and to roll out the blame the quarterback take after watching the defense give up 2 fourth-down conversions with the game on the line and 90 yards in a minute and a half is just plain lazy. You can call us a lot of things. Lazy is not one of them. You can say we're idiots. You can say we're wrong. I think lazy is not one of them. But your retort to that?
I would say that unfortunately in life, sometimes the obvious answer is the correct one.
And that we're lazy?
And we talked about, it comes back to, look, you can't pay a guy that much and then just continually be like, but it's not his fault. And the defense did melt down. But they're younger. It wasn't surprising. Who on Sunday night should you have expected to pull his weight beyond belief if you were going to upset the Seahawks? It starts with your quarterback. He's a veteran. He's not young. He's not young. Your corners are young.
Yeah.
Listen, in 5 years, if Wilson completes, or in 4 years, if Wilson completes that same 4th-and-10 pass, I'll rip the cornerback for it.
And we'll keep having this discussion obviously throughout the year. Let's get our friend here, Jay Williams from Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin. You can also find him on Get Up.
I'm all worked up.
But the radio show Keyshawn, Jay Will, Zubin available here in the Twin Cities on Score North Radio AM 1500, 5 to 9 a.m. And we're just opening up. We're reading some feedback from people that think we are too hard on Kirk Cousins, Jay. And we'll talk NBA with you too here. And I'll read you this one comment from Jason from Purple Daily YouTube. He says, Kirk Cousins is easily a top five quarterback. He just needs a better offensive line. So don't blame him, you bald-headed numbskull mother bleeper.
Wow.
I mean, you're bald too. So I guess
he's not talking to you, Jay.
He could have been talking about Jay instead of me.
Hold on. I choose to be bald. Hold on.
No, that's the same thing Matthew says. Here we go. Two guys who choose to be bald.
I love this. This is great. I feel like people think
I choose to keep my hair, Jay.
It's easier. You don't have to buy shampoo. It's a pain in the ass to have to buy shampoo every, 6 months. And I think it's just a good look, Jay. I'm not going to lie.
Look, I gotta be honest. We can get into the football question.
No, we can stay on this.
I have. John, you notice that? I have enough maintenance issues with my life. Okay, like I just got done with the NBA season. I took today off of work. I'm like, you know what? Like I've been working early mornings, late nights, burning both ends of the candle. I look forward just to being home with my wife, my family. And I wake up, my wife's like, oh, by the way, I wrote a list of things for you to do around the house today since today's your day off.
That's why you called us.
And this is why I have a bald head. I don't want any more maintenance issues in my life, guys. I have enough on my plate.
Amen.
So I can't use hair gel. I mean, I'm black. I can't use hair gel anyway. But you guys know what I mean.
Amen. I'm with you. I shaved my head for the first time in May of 2007. I was 21 years old. And it was a dare, by the way. It was a dare.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I haven't looked back. 13 years, haven't spent a dime on a haircut, and also haven't bought shampoo. Well, I buy shampoo sometimes, but it's great. Anyhow, good stuff, you guys.
Hey, Jay, is there nothing worse than the maintenance day off that a person takes, and then you get the list? I hate the list.
Jed, I got to tell you, I'm looking at your pictures online right now. You got a good set of hair, man.
I'm 50.
That is impressive.
I'm 50 too, man. I'm very happy.
Wow.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I'm sort of fat, but.
Actually, let me find the right Google search here. Judd Mustache.
Oh, you don't want to see? No, don't make him see the mustache.
Judd
Zolgad. No, don't do that.
Should I look up Judd Mustache?
Look up Judd Zolgad, Z-U-L-G-A-D.
I'm already on it.
Oh, no.
Actually, it's not showing up here.
He'll never think the same again if he sees this picture.
We did Movember like 9 years ago, and Judd looked like a Bosnian warlord, and it was uncomfortable for everybody.
I look like I just blown up three cars in a parking lot.
Judd, there is some kind of like Bosnian like arms like lord going on here, like you like back channeling a lot of property in different parts of European countries. I like the look. I like it.
Well, actually, yes, exactly right.
One time when we were doing No Shave November, so Judd and I used to do these local morning TV appearances, and like toward the end of November during No Shave November, we look like homeless terrorists or some combination. I got an email from one of the producers one time said, if you guys are going to look like that again, we cannot let you on TV. So please don't ever show up like that ever again.
See, Phil, you and I, I'm looking at your picture now, Phil, too. I love it because now I feel like we're in studio together. So, you know, I feel like, first off, the beard. I don't know. Do you still have the beard right now or are you beardless?
That's beard season. No, it's beard season right now.
Beard season. Like the beard, strong chin structure, really good. Like it. But I feel like we have the same, we choose to go bald, but they're like, you know, like our hairline, it's slightly going back and back and back. And so there is that gracious coming to Jesus conversation that you and I have constantly where it's like, let's just do the right thing and then change up the verbiage and how we tell people we're choosing to do the right thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. When's the last time have you ever had, even like you're off camera for a couple weeks or something, you ever let just a mini fro happen, or has it been like 20 years?
No, I refuse to see myself. It will send me nightmares. And I'm going to be very transparent with you guys. I have thought about the hair plug process before, but like, I'm just like, you know, I'm 39. Do I really want to spend the money on the look? Is it that much? You know, within our community too, there's like this, I don't know if you guys have seen it, like the shoe polish kind of thing.
LeBron did that for a movie one time, didn't he?
Yeah, Yeah, I'm not sure. I sweat too much. There's too much of a tendency to rub the forehead, which would then smear the hairline, which for me, I don't want to be seen because I would look atrocious.
Bald looks good, though, Jay. Like, it's fine.
I think bald is beautiful, Phil. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's fine. You know, Judd, I know you're going to rock out yours, but you have a good set. You're good. You're good for a while, man. That looks strong.
Jay, I'd be bad bald. Like, it would look really weird. Like Phil and you look fine or good. If I decided to shave my hair, I think it would be really, really frightening.
Now do you go to the barber? Do you have a routine? Do you go through with a haircut? Okay. See, I don't know about you, Mackie. Like I don't have that anymore. Like for me, it's just like something about going to the barber shop, sitting in the chair. I don't know. Maybe having a cigar, maybe having a drink, depending upon what style of barbershop you go to, kicking it with the guys. I don't have that anymore. It's just a quick zip, zip over the top, and I'm on my way.
Me too. It's great. I shave my own head. I make it. It's a Sunday night thing for me. It's always therapeutic. I light a couple candles, pumpkin spice now. And you can, by the way, like,
what's up with you and candles, Mackie?
I like candles.
I'm sorry. Go back. You light pumpkin spice candles before you cut your hair?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah.
Rip them.
Yeah. Sounds like you're doing a little bit more than just cutting your hair. I'm just going to throw that out. I'm not going to specify.
I throw on the Spanish guitar channel on Spotify and dim the lights a little bit.
This is more than we all wanted, Jay.
That's too much, Mac. Yeah.
By the way, you can hold out on the hair plugs and hair restoration until one of the sales reps at ESPN Radio comes knocking and says, hey, Jay Bosley wants to spend some money here and float you. And the next day it's going to be Jay Williams here for Bosley Hair Restoration. How did I get the Dr. Jay Fro overnight? Bosley.com/Jay.
Guys, I'm new to the radio game, as you know, I told you guys before, and what's happening now, it's like, oh yeah, all these potential sponsors, and now I find myself where it's like, do I want the paycheck? Do I want to find some way to say that this is part of my life, even though I know it isn't, but I'm willing to make the sacrifice? That day may come. I'm not going to lie.
Well, the Dr. J look would be extraordinary. That would be the greatest thing I've ever seen. The 70s was great, man.
Judd, the front of the fro would come from the middle of the head. That would be it. You would see too much forehead, middle of the head, fro up. It would just. I don't want to look like Stephen A. Smith. I'm gonna. I love him. He wears it like he's so proud, but I'm not him. I don't have that confidence.
He's got the straight line over the top. It's gonna look even better in like 10 years for Stephen A. Before we say goodbye, we at least want your take on two things. Number one, we just watched. So we're dissecting this Vikings Seahawks Sunday night game, and Kirk Cousins was good in the first half, threw a bad interception.
Can I before you even say that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, last time I called, we talked about you know Coach Zimmer and off the field, how he's living his life. We were kind of dissecting. You know, everybody's like, "Oh, okay, it's an interesting move there. Interesting."
The girlfriend, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good for him.
I'll allow you guys to say it. I won't say it. Can I ask you, why just not kick the field goal?
So
why go for it?
That's been the discussion. So we both agree here that if you have a chance to just, you've already run for 200 yards in the game, you've racked up 450 yards of offense, you have moved the ball on them for 3 hours. Just get one more yard and the game's over. And the other side of the argument, and so that's where we stand. The other side of the argument is, yeah, but like if you kick a field goal, then Russell Wilson cannot mathematically beat you in regulation. So I hear it, but like they gained 450 yards and they just needed 1 inch and they failed. And so,
Mackie, I got to tell you guys, I watch Minnesota games now because of my relationship with you guys. And I feel like I threw my sock at the TV in anger. And I get what you're saying, but math, and this is where I'm not a big analytical guy, but analytics, when you look like mathematically, you could take a team out of the equation, like regardless of you moving the ball on the ground, like just take them out of the equation. Don't give Russell Wilson, a guy who's at the leading top charts of MVP, an opportunity to actually do what he does best. That's what he does best.
But Jay, that Seattle defense was so bad that the fact that you can't get an inch against them is the most embarrassing thing. Like, you could have ended that night. Russell would have never seen the field again, and you couldn't get an inch against a team that Mackey, Declan Goff, Judd, or Jay could have gotten an inch against. That's how bad I think they were defensively. So that's the embarrassing thing to me, is just get the damn inch and go home.
Can I tell you guys, from somebody who lost, you know, in college, I was 95-13 in my 3 years. I only lost 13 games. I lost 13 games in my first 3.5 weeks of the NBA with the Chicago Bulls. And, you know, we lost a lot of games that year. These conversations are very similar to the conversations that we had a lot that year. These are conversations of teams that just find ways, bad teams that just find ways to lose games.
Yes.
Like, and that's the part that's frustrating, that we're even having this conversation, regardless of what side of the ball you're on, about whether, yeah, we should win for it, like, or, hey, it's Kirk Cousins. Like, these are conversations bad teams have consistently. And I feel like every time I'm on the show, we're having these type of conversations.
Yes.
It really leaves me in a state of perpetual misery.
Welcome to Minnesota Sports, Jay Williams. Welcome to Minnesota Sports.
You're getting a PhD.
Have you seen the Wolves? You want misery? Watch the NBA team here. I'll give you misery.
I feel like I may have to try to come out to be like, to be some kind of GM with you guys out there, maybe with the Timberwolves. Maybe that's destined for me with our relationship. Maybe it just needs to get there.
Well, it would be. I think their front office is. It's going to be fun to speculate, because now NBA offseason starts, and obviously the Timberwolves are one of the central figures. So there's going to be a million things to speculate on. Hey, before we say goodbye, the NBA Finals. We talked about this yesterday. The NBA, I think, nailed it with their bubble concept. And for guys like us, I mean, everyone here on these microphones, like, our livelihood depends on interesting live sports content. And so I think the NBA deciding, let's do that. Let's be the first sport to say we're going to do this. They pulled it off. And I don't know what would have happened if teams would have had to travel and there was fans in arenas, you mentioned. Maybe the Heat don't get that far. But your general thoughts on the NBA going through with an unprecedented bubble, and then how it finished with LeBron winning his fourth championship, Jay?
Man, you know, more importantly than all that with LeBron is the fact that not one COVID case. Like, that's so impressive as we watch everything that happens throughout MLB, all the things that are currently happening with the NFL. Granted, they were in the bubble. But still, I have to commend Adam Silver a ton. And a lot of times, I know that, you know, numbers went down 70%, and a lot of people are turned off from a lot of the, you know, aesthetics of Black Lives Matter and things of that sort. But at the end of the day, for Adam Silver to essentially, you know, give the employees of the NBA a chance to voice their concerns about what's happening in the world, I commend him for doing that. I really do. I think for LeBron James, I am no longer engaging in these conversations where I'm going to say who I think the greatest of all time is. I think that does a disservice to LeBron. I think that's more of us in the media, because we love those topics to debate about. For me, like, I'm just tired of dissecting art, right? I know where I stand on LeBron. I've made that point mentioned before. We've never seen somebody like him, his size, his frame, that can pass, that can play, and physically dominate a game the way he can. But it was really interesting to me, because I got into my little bit of a quibble with LeBron James, and I think it was more so based upon, you know, how it articulated. I didn't really give it context when I went on Twitter. I was like, well, so what? You know, LeBron was Pippen once, and what I meant, that was like the highest compliment, even though it didn't translate for Twitter, because what I meant to say is, you know, when he left Cleveland to go to Miami, like, that was, you watch LeBron evolve. He was never Pippen as it relates to how he played or, you know, being second. He was always first, but he learned a lot in that first year, being with Miami, being with D-Wade, who was an alpha, and LeBron was an alpha too, and, you know, being under Pat Riley. And, like, you know, he exchanged with me, and then I kind of went back and was like, LeBron, that's not what I meant. But I just wonder, when LeBron at the end of it all says, you know, I want my damn respect too, I just feel like that's something that, in the world that we live in with social media, if you're constant, if you're on your phone, if you look at that, you're never going to feel like you ultimately get your respect, right? Because somebody's always making a talking point, or somebody's always comparing, whereas MJ didn't have social media to go to. Like, you had to actively go to a newspaper, or somebody had to bring a beat writer's thought about you from Minnesota or from wherever they are in the country, right? It wasn't the same to that same extent, even though I'm sure it was bad back then too. So I just, seeing him on the court, seeing him get his fourth championship on his third different team, regardless, I think the bubble was harder than what people actually give it credit to, going away from your family, dealing with the social injustice in the country, talking about it, handling the death of Kobe Bryant. I just pay him the ultimate respect, and I just want to sit back and say, I appreciate getting a chance to see this man play in person and getting a chance to experience his greatness up front.
And so, just to clarify, you think he's Scottie Pippen, and he's not a Batman. Just to sum all up, just kidding.
That's the point.
Jerry West is the greatest player of all time, James. Jerry West. There's no argument. I'm telling you right now.
So you're supposed to help me on these kinds.
I love
the back and forth. It's like generationally. Why can't we just appreciate the greatest players of the time? We can't do it.
It did kind of feel though like when he was going through, you know. He's going through all the different, like, Anthony Davis wants his respect and Jeannie Buss wants her respect. And then it's almost like he looked through the camera and he was like, and Jay Williams, Skip Bayless, Colin Cowherd, all you talking heads.
Don't include our guy Jay Williams with Skip Bayless.
Thank you.
Don't do that. I got your back here. I got your back.
The problem. I've called this man that it's like all of a sudden this echo chamber that we live in. I've said 30 million incredible things about LeBron James. And then you give one comment, and it's like it just explodes in an echo chamber.
Twitter's a tough place, Jay.
It is.
Twitter's a tough place because it's got to be succinct, and sometimes it comes out not necessarily how you think it's going to come out.
Yeah,
I know. Okay, let me ask you guys this question before I go. So, granted, they won. They won easily. Were you all about LeBron making the right play, or would you rather have LeBron taking that shot in Game 5?
I'm all about him making the right play. So I'll answer because I'm more obsessed with basketball. Judd's more obsessed with hockey in these parts. My comparison was, well, two things. It's kind of funny to me how when, like, LeBron James' teammates tend to spaz out in big moments. J.R. Smith last year, Markieff Morris throwing the ball out of bounds. Like, dude, you have 6 seconds left. Take a deep breath. Like, survey you. LeBron's wide open. And Danny Green has not shot the ball well lately, and you get this like the most wide open look you're ever going to get, and he almost airballs it. And all I can think about is Michael Jordan in those same spots, whether it's luck or just better teammates, he swings the ball around, boom, John Paxson wins the finals. He swings it over to Steve Kerr, boom, Steve Kerr knocks it down and maybe even like springboards a broadcasting career out of it and a coaching career. In part because he makes that shot. LeBron makes the right play, and Danny Green literally almost airballs it. And that's the difference. So it was the right play.
Well, so my quick thing on that, you ready? I went back and I watched tape of that game. I can give you 6 or 7 possessions where LeBron didn't make the right play. He just bulldozed his way to the basket, and he scored, right? And watching the game with friends, you're like, that's what I'm talking about, LeBron. That's what I'm talking about. Be aggressive. Be that guy. And then in the game, he makes the right play. They're like, okay, I'm okay with it. He didn't make the right play multiple times throughout the course of the game. So I guess, is that argument just applicable for when you want it to be convenient to fit the narrative that you want to fit? Right? Like, because my thing, look, and they won it, and I'm never going to question. I've never been in the NBA Game 5 before. I own all that stuff. It's funny sometimes watching him, like when he drives, though, it's like if he drove with intent to score, who the hell is stopping him? Yeah. Like, you saw that in Game 6. Who's stopping him? I mean, he barreled and elbowed Jay Crowder in the face. Like, you're not stopping that freight train. So
I think it's
interesting to watch the evolution of his mindset as he continues to recognize what he can do in those great moments, too.
Yeah. Great stuff. Those are fair points, but you have dishes to wash and garbage to take out on your list today.
Yeah, you didn't answer my question.
I hate the list.
I hate the list, Jay. You know what? It's your day off. It's not the day for the list.
Okay. Well, my haircut is number one on my list today.
All right.
I have to cut it. I'm going to try it with the pumpkin spice.
No candles, Jay.
Awkward, but yeah.
Yeah, a little flamenco guitar Spotify channel.
Oh, that's
a game changer.
Sorry, Jay.
This Jay Williams appearance on Mackie and Judd brought to you by Green Magic Hair Growth Cream. Find it on Amazon.
You guys both know if you don't have hair. Brought to you by being bald. Bald by choice.
All right, guys. I'll see you guys next week.
Right, man.
See you, Jay. That's Jay Williams, our friend from ESPN Radio. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. You can find it 5 to 9 a.m. on Score North Radio, AM 1500. That was awesome. He's
fantastic.
Like he watches Vikings.
Well, he's bored too. He's off.
We talked about bald heads for 10 minutes. It was awesome.
Because he's trying to avoid the list.
Yes.
He didn't want to rip his wife, which I appreciate. but he's trying to avoid the list at any cost, and I know why.
What is your least favorite thing on the list?
Probably clean the gutters. Probably the gutters.
Dude, that's probably my least favorite. That's the value of a condo
association.
Oh, yeah.
I never should have bought a house. One of the dumbest things I ever did was buying a house. Just really stupid. I don't belong in a house. I can't keep it up.
My least favorite thing on the list, and it bit us now because now we have a clog between our dishwasher and the sink. Sometimes we let the sink pile up too much.
Dawn does that. I can't stand that.
Ugh.
I have some weird things, and one is I cannot take dishes in the sink. They drive me crazy.
Why don't you come live at our place? Just take care of it every day.
They drive me nuts.
Hand washing dishes. I run my dishwasher 3 times a week, and I live alone. I hate hand washing.
You guys
dishes.
Both come live over here.
Oh, you see, I like doing it. I don't mind. Dishes, I don't mind that. But like Dawn allows the dishes to accumulate in the sink, and it drives me crazy. And it's like there's food on them. It's disgusting. Get rid of them. There's nothing like a clean sink. It's like a well manicured baseball field.
What a pleasant surprise. Randy in Cottage Grove. Are you a dishwasher guy, or do you ordinarily wash dishes by hand, Randy?
Since I'm living on my own now, I prefer to do the red keg cups, solo cups.
It's actually a great call.
And paper plates.
Fairly environmentally conscious, but, you know, it's
paper plates and the paper towels. You just throw it all away. It's easiest.
Yeah, that's a great call.
You know what? You're a very smart man, Randy. A very smart man.
I heard the news about, first of all, I heard the news about Delvin, and this is a mistake. It could be avoided very easily.
Yeah, Delvin, by the way, is going to be out for the Falcons game, according to Chad Graff. So that's a fact. We kind of knew that already. But,
So Delvin, if you're listening, because I'm gonna give you advice that I know Sugarman isn't giving anybody, because he's a coward. YAG is the solution. You can do two things with it. I've done a lot of dumb and growing a lot of times. And number one thing, of course, is you can shoot it, and it just loosens up all your muscles. But then you can, it also has an effervescence, and you can rub it on the groin and just get it in the tissue. And it works a lot like Bengay or Icy Hot. So then just do it. And Rumpelmans works too.
Do doctors recommend you rub YAG on your pulled groin muscles?
Sounds like a St. Cloud plan.
Medically sanctioned?
It's a homeopath. Thing? Homeopath might. Hmm. It's a natural cure. You know, you're not going to hear this from a lot of, you know, big HMOs, but it works, Delvin. So just give it a try. You might find yourself out there after all. Of course,
call the Vikings, Randy.
Say that again.
Call the team. Tell them that this is the solution. Rub it on his groin.
I'm telling him right now.
You might need to call him.
Shoot it and rub it and work it into the groin, and it works. I've done it many times. And a lot of guys on my team.
You think you like football? Brad Childress doesn't just like football. He loves football.
I did watch him. I was standing right behind him when he was warming up and saw him kind of reach for his groin and, you know, hold it and whatever you do with the groin, rub it. That's what I think I witnessed. It twinged a little bit on him.
Football!
Football!
Yeah!
Football!
Yeah! Yeah!
Gotta eat!
Yeah, Brad would know. He would know. He's probably seen a lot of people do their groin over the years. So just give it a try, Dawn. What do you have to lose?
I can't disagree at this point. The guy can't stay on the field. Might as well try some YAG on the groin. No?
Yeah. YAG or Rumpelmans. If you can't find, but it has to be cold. Both of them have to be cold to work correct. But that's one thing. Number two, I'm going to do the stable here and really just kind of break it down. You could do the music.
Oh, sure.
Oh. Yes, sorry, yeah.
Come on, Declan.
I forgot it's his show.
He's
Matthew.
Producing the segment.
This is Randy got to go.
Oh. Here we are. Now, this is Vikings and the Seahawks. It's a Sunday night football game, and this is a stud stable. First guy I'd like to look at.
A stud stable? A stud stable? They lost the game.
They lost.
Drew Sambia. Drew?
Why are we doing a stud stable, Randy? They lost the game.
I'm in the middle of the stable.
I think he's going. All right, dude.
I want to leave it as stud.
I'll tell you why. Go ahead and kill the music. You want to be a bozo about it.
Yeah. I'll pull the music.
We're doing it to pump them up. The dud stable not working. Everyone's too down on these guys, and I see a lot of people posting the PFR or whatever the grade on Samia. He passed the eye test. He's hustling.
Did he really pass the eye test?
Drew, you don't need people out there giving you grades. You know you got it in you. You are talent, and you are a stud. Maybe they need to hear that more. You guys ever thought about that? You ever thought maybe they need to hear that they're studs from some of the critics?
I mean, all right, that's worth a shot. They're one and four. I think anything's worth a shot at this point. Yeah, so, sure. All right.
Keep going, Randy. Just keep going.
All right, let's fire the music back up here. This is Randy and Cottage Grove's stud stable.
Drew Sania, you're a big-time talent. We took you in the middle of the draft because you've got what it takes. Go ahead and brush it off. You looked good. We should have won that game. And you know it because you're a stud. Alexander Mattson, you came in that game late when Delvin tweaked his groin and he needs to try Yag. But then you took the ball and say, you really did it. You missed that little hole at the end there, but that's not on you. That's just kind of the things that happen in the game. And it's going to be okay because you're a stud. Kirk Cousins, everybody says you can't play in primetime. I saw you zinging it around pretty good Sunday night. Kirk, you're going to be all right. Get your head up. Get your ass up off the turf. Because there's a lot of football left, and this team is not going to miss the playoffs. That's a guarantee. Kirk, you're a stud.
Whoa. All righty then. Hold you to that one.
Shift over to the defense. A lot of guys had a really good night. I'd like to talk especially about Yannicka Gakwe. He was really in the backfield a lot and making a lot of things happen, causing some chaos for Russell Wilson. Yannicka Gakwe, you're a stud. Holden Hill, I said last time you were a stud, and these bozos didn't believe me. Well, I guess they believe me now. Holden, you're a stud.
Hey, Randy, he didn't play on Sunday.
Cam Dantzler's a guy who's got a whole lot of natural ability, and he's a risk taker. He's a maverick. He's willing to jump into someone's route and mix it up. And he was a little bit off on that last play.
Talk to me, Goose.
But that's okay. That's okay because, Cam, deep down in your heart, you know you're a stud.
Yeah.
More a Viking than a maverick.
Dan Bailey, just an icy veteran, didn't get his chance to do that field goal late to make it an 8-point lead. But that's okay because you know, Dan, that Zim's got a big set of stones. And you have a big set, too. And later in this year, you're going to have opportunities, Dan. Keep your head up, because it's going to come. And sooner or later, Zim's going to look at you and say, we ain't going for it here. We're going to let you kick a big, big, big-time field goal, and you're going to be ready because you're a stud. And finally, I'd like to look at a guy who a lot of people were down on earlier this year. But not anymore. Zim, you painted a Picasso. It was a gorgeous victory from start to finish, except the very final part.
Yeah, if you took out that final part, they definitely won the game.
This is inspirational almost.
Yeah, definitely won the game.
Excuse me, is this not helping Zim? Who's interrupting? Who is this?
That's Declan.
That was Jeff.
Declan.
It's Jeff. I'm gonna.
Okay, yep. Declan. Whatever he said. Well, I'm done with this. This whole thing is to pump the guys up, not make fun.
I'm just doing what you're asked.
Oh, you jumped at him again.
There he goes.
You see the fade of the call when you interrupted him again.
He hung up there.
He got flustered. He got mad. I think he was. I don't think he watched the game.
He said he was. When I picked up the phone to get him on, he said he was still hungover.
I don't think he watched the game.
I think the game was on. No, but the light, maybe the lights were on. Here's what I think happened. Was home.
Here's what I think happened. Primetime game. I think he pre-gamed himself right into a coma and didn't watch the game.
It happens.
It been there.
I mean, he just he's
at the Colts.
You know, the stud stable was already sort of weird, but then he praised Holton Hill, which would have been weird regardless, but Holton Hill didn't play. I think he missed the game.
Well, is it possible that because Holton Hill didn't play, the Vikings were able to hold the Seahawks scoreless in the first half and make it a game? So addition by
that would have been a good thing for him to point out. That would have been a good thing for Randy from Cottage Grove to point out.
Yeah. So, well, that was Randy and Cottage Grove's not dud stable after a loss, but the pump 'em up stud stable.
You like that? You like that?
That darn sugar man.
Patrick Royce. We wrap with Royce every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can find Royce Unchained in podcast form on Apple, Spotify, and the new ScoreNorth.com. What'd you think of our Vikings effort on Sunday night, Pat? They almost pulled it off.
I was amazed. They were really good, I thought. And what they did to Russell in the first half was amazing. And even in the second half, they couldn't, you know. I mean, here, look at what this team was the first 2 weeks. They had the ball, what, 18 minutes each the first 2 weeks, 18, 19 minutes? Like, two lowest times of possession in history.
Yeah.
And 3 weeks later, they go to Seattle and turn that completely around. They did absolutely everything they wanted to do in that, you know, to Russell by not letting him have the ball. And when he had the ball, they put a rush on him where they kind of kept him in the pocket where he couldn't get out and run, and he made very few plays on the run like he usually does, and yet they gave him that little glimmer at the end, and he won the game for him. That's why he is the MVP of the 2020 NFL season.
Ooh.
Certainly at this point, and the favorite, I would think, to win it, wouldn't you?
You're calling him. Yeah, right now I think you're right.
It's him and Rodgers right now.
Yeah
Rodgers has been great, but with this guy, I think Rodgers got a better team around him than this
yes.
guy, don't you?
That Seattle defense is awful.
Well, they got Snacks Harrison was watching
he's on the practice squad.
Yeah.
And their offensive line's nothing to write home about either. You know, he's basically doing it by himself to be 5-0. And remember when they came in here and, you know, that guy missed the field goal, Blair Walsh, and then we all wrote. Then little first graders send him cards telling him how much we love them and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
You remember that, right?
Yeah.
Remember what a defensive team that was? They didn't let him do anything, basically. They never turned that team over to him. They just played defense back then. And, boy, he's astounding. He certainly does not play like your typical Wisconsin quarterback, that's for sure. He was there.
You're saying the Joel Stave and Russell Wilson?
Because he spent what 1 year there, right? He spent that 1 year. That's why he's not the typical Badger.
Yes, well, they wouldn't have been able to put up with him if he'd stayed 3 years. I mean, if he would have had 3 years of eligibility, because then they couldn't have ran the ball 60 times a game, right? So, anyway.
Hey, Royce, what is our need to your point about the Blair Walsh miss, what is our need in this town to pump up people who screw up? Like, why are first graders, you know, my guess is in Boston, a bunch of first grade kids would basically tell the guy, get out of our bleeping town, you suck. Why do we need to reassure people who screw up that they're still good?
I have contended that this was not certainly big picture. This wasn't a worse miss than Gary Anderson's, but I have contended this was the worst miss in Vikings history, just because this team, this defense, had gone out there in minus 25 degree weather and basically allowed a team that had run over them a couple of weeks earlier to do nothing, and now Teddy Bridgewater made one play all day, and now they were going to win the game, and he missed that field goal. It was 28 yards. Everybody says 28 yards, and he missed it from the get-go. That was, you know, Gary Anderson's kind of drifted from 38 and then just missed by what, a one, he kicked straight ahead and missed the damn thing. But I don't know what that was about. And then we should have disliked him just because of the goofy suits he wore, too, don't you think? I mean, these little tight little suits.
Skinny. He was way too skinny from the get-go.
He showed a lot of ankle. Him and Kai Forbath used to show a lot of ankle on their way to the team plane.
He didn't look like an NFL football player. By the way, I saw our old pal Danielle Carlson for the Vegas Raiders on Sunday. He made a couple of – he missed an extra point. I saw him miss an extra point. So I hope Zim was watching so he could not be kicking himself for letting that guy go.
I think my favorite, non-favorite part about the Vikings losing that game to the Seahawks was, if you guys remember, that was right – Vikings vent line was, a couple, 2-3 years under its belt, and we were rocking and rolling. And that particular Sunday, we had a broadcast window conflict with Marlene Stallings' Gopher women's basketball team that prevented Vikings vent line from taking the air. And I don't know who the part-time producer was back at the station, if it was our friend Jonathan Harrison, but somebody had to sit there for 2 hours and field phone calls off air from angry fans wondering, A, how did he miss the kick, and where the hell are you guys?
Yeah.
That might have been where the momentum turned. Well, who knows? That might have marked that down. You know, Gopher football, I have a moment where it went from, our biggest thing in town to understudies to the Vikings. 1968 it started, but 1969, Murray went down to Arizona State, which was in the WAC then. It wasn't even in the Pac-10 then. And Frank Cush was coaching down there. And Murray went down there with the great Jim Carter as his fullback in that wonderful power game. And they went down there, and these guys started throwing 50-yard passes and jumping up in the, Calvin Devery jumping up in the air and making one-handed catches and running away from our stout, competitive little white boys from, our Swedes were just sitting there watching what the hell is going on here. And that was it. That was right then. You found out that Powerball was done and speed was the answer. And that's what it changed.
That was it for Gopher football?
Whatever that date is. And for us, it might have been Ventline getting canceled for the affable Marlene Stallings' pregame show, probably.
What a great coach. Hey, Patrick, Patrick, what do you think, if there's watching playoff baseball, if there's a couple things that you see from the Rays, what do you think the Twins can learn? Like, what are the Rays? What do the Rays do that's just so damn smart? Because this is incredible.
Somehow, even when their pitchers want to, they can't give up runs. How about anybody who thinks, like Josh Donaldson, who thinks that the shift hurts in the long run? Did you watch the ninth inning with our guy Nick Anderson?
He melted down.
He loads the bases. Springer hits a rocket.
Yep.
At second base, right? One hopper, basically, what, a foot to the left of second base?
Yes.
And the shortstop standing there and runs over, and it's a double play, and you're going to win the game. Anderson walked too straight, that he wasn't sharp at all. He didn't have a break and pull at all. And rocket, two outs, see ya. And then they end up beating them. But I don't know. Because they're not bringing in relief pitchers that dazzle you, I mean, they're not like, it's not like having Britton and Chapman and a couple other guys that the Yankees had. Ottavino a couple of years ago, the Yankees had this bullpen of all-stars. And these guys, they're kick around 30-year. Aaron Loop, for God's sake. You have the guts to bring him in two games in a row. And I don't know. I don't get it. I really don't. I watched them and say, they're not as good, they don't have as good a lineup as the Twins do, but I don't know. I don't get it. They struck out more than the Twins this year.
Yeah, they've struck out a lot. They have one of the highest strikeout rates.
I think they led the league. I think they said the other night on that game, I forgot to look it up, Sunday night, that the Rays had more strikeouts than any team in the league.
And they're just they're great at everything else. They play.
Oh God! Well, here, part of it is the plays they made in this. They're ahead 2-0 because of the plays they made. How about that chubby Korean at first base?
He's a good player.
He's like Keith Hernandez. He's a fat Keith Hernandez.
You know what he does though, Patrick? He's fat, so he can stretch and he never gets hurt. It's like Herbeck. Fat people have easier time stretching and not hurting muscles.
He's gotten a little too much pub though for his split leg stretch, you know, because he did that on the play yesterday when he didn't have to, and that ended up giving him a base runner right off the bat. The second base runner was, he let the ball pop out of his glove on that stretch, and I don't think that stretch was necessary. I think he had time to get it. But anyway, he's fun, though. He's entertaining. But I don't know. It's just a collection of guys. You know, their best player, Aza Zarina or whatever it is, he wasn't called up till August 31st,
yeah.
I don't think. So it's an amazing operation. I really like Cash. I mean, he's got a little edge to him when you try to interview him, but he's into the innovation 100%, and I think he'll chew somebody out more publicly than Rocco will, and, you know, he'll threaten the Yankees to throw at their heads with 98-mile-an-hour fastballs. He got an edge to him.
It's sort of like, you guys remember, what was that random EPL team that won the Premier League like 3 years ago?
Leicester City.
So Leicester City, you know, it's like, oh my God, they beat the Yankees and the Red Sox, you know, the Man Cities and the Man U's, and it was this miracle season, and then they kind of dropped back to where they are. The Rays are Leicester City without having won the World Series yet, but almost every year for the last 12 years, with no payroll.
Phil, I did a little something on Sunday on this. Last year, you know, they've had a nice little they had a 4 or 5 year run with Madden, and then they had a couple three bad, then they had 4 bad years in a row, not real bad. Well, a couple of them were close to 500, but one of them was terrible. And now they're back for like 4 years now. They've been back again. And last year they won 92 or 3 games and drew $1.17 million.
God.
It's unbelievable.
No one cares.
Nobody will go to their games.
No one cares.
The ballpark is awful.
I know, but God Almighty, boy, you can stumble into more. You know, you got to. You know, every time in baseball now, the attendance you're getting is like 80% of what's actually there, right? So they didn't have a million people there last year.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've been there one time as a fan. And
yeah,
everyone just has their own section to themselves, even in the lower deck.
Well, last year, 2 years ago, I was up there, and they put the tarp up on the upper deck so they don't have to service the upper deck anymore. But it's a tarp like I got on my swimming pool there, about 25 years old. You know? This is ratty old park and this thing. I went up to see their first workout of the year up there 2 years ago, because that's where they were going to do the opener, you know. And I went up there, and this was in their stadium. This was like a late January workout. And they had a home show going on in like left field and center field with this, you know, these little barriers with plastic on them. So they were trying to have a workout while there was a home show in left field. And this home show was not the high level. It was not the Minneapolis boat show, I want to tell you. It was like a bunch of guys trying to sell knives or something. It was just unbelievable. And it just fit perfectly in that crap stadium with this, you know. And somehow, them and Oakland, they ended up with the first and second records in the league? In American League. Oakland second.
I think that's right.
I think so.
Yeah,
in Oakland. You know, you're lucky if the toilet doesn't explode when you go to the bathroom out there.
That's not wrong.
The two dumpiest stadiums and the two teams that have had to get rid of more good players so they wouldn't have to pay them of anybody. And they Yeah, I don't know how they do it. It's incredible. It's great for baseball.
And now Clayton Kershaw was just scratched from his start in the NLCS today with a bad back. And so if that's going to linger, then that opens the doors for the Rays to win the World Series.
Yeah,
think about
that. The Braves are good.
Braves could beat the Dodgers.
The Braves are good. Yeah, they're good. So,
all right, Pat.
Yeah.
We'll catch you again.
I think we should be kinder to the Vikings for their performance on Sunday.
Look at that. Listen to that.
Voice of reason.
Well, I mean, God almighty. The best player in the world makes a play against you, and we're all fire Zim. Okay, fire Zim because this idiot Madison missed the hole by 4 feet. Okay. You know, the first baseman from Tampa could have made it through that hole.
He would have stretched. He would have slithered because he can stretch out.
We're mad at Zim. Zim took Russell Wilson and wrapped him up in ropes in the first half, and we're mad at him because he got beat. Boy, people are stupid. All right.
See you, Pat.
But I love the fans, even though they're dumber than rocks.
All right. Bye. Patrick Ricey, we'll talk again tomorrow. It's amazing. He's the best. All right, that's a wrap on this episode of Mackie and Judd. Write that down, predictions, and an accountability session tomorrow. See you guys.